Now I can hear Matt's typing.
Yeah. live tweeting. You know it's going to be good. Oh my goodness.
Welcome to the Mac DevOps YVR podcast. This podcast is about the Mac DevOps YVR conference in beautiful Vancouver, British Columbia. We interview guests and discuss topics around managing Macs using open source software projects inspired by DevOps. Our goal is to encourage developers and IT to work together to solve problems for our community. For more information, see our website, mdoyvr.com. This is the Mac DevOps podcast. Welcome to the Mac DevOps podcast. Today, I'm joined by Bart Reardon. How's it going, Bart?
It's going really well. Really well.
Excellent. It must be a different time of the day for you over there, thanks to our friend Time Zones.
It's not too bad. I saw the. I don't normally get meetings at 8 o'clock in the morning. That's not too egregious. I've had worse. This is not like, you know, 3 a.m. or something.
Excellent. We find that time of the day that works just for for you and us. Yes, time zones. We're also joined by JD, my lovely co-host. We're in the same time zone, I think.
Aren't we, JD? I think we are. The Twilight time zone.
The Twilight Zone. You are hopping all around a lot these days. You've been a community organizer, conference booster. I don't know. What is your job these days, JD? You're doing so many things.
It's many hats. It depends on the time of day and what meeting I'm scheduled for. I think that's true of most of us as Mac admins and DevOpsy folks.
Yes. Well, thanks for joining us, JD. I know you're a busy boy. And yeah, thanks to Bart for joining us to talk about Swift Dialogue, his really cool project, and just to talk in general, because he's going to be speaking at Mac DevOps 2024, our 10th year. How did we do it? How did we do it?
Well, and more than speaking, he's going to be leading a workshop, which I'm pretty excited about, having played with Swift Dialogue, but getting to learn some of the ins and outs and deeper, darker secrets, maybe.
Yeah. Recently, Bart got to test trial his workshop with a bunch of guinea pigs in Australia. How did that go at XWorld?
Feedback was good. I always have that thing where you sort of give a presentation, everyone comes up, and you don't know whether they're being genuine or whether they're just being nice. I think they were being genuine.
Oh.
It was a... no, I actually got some really good feedback, so especially from some people who are really coming into this sort of fresh. So that was good.
So it's going to be...
And 3 hours goes past really quickly.
It's going to be a chunky workshop with 3 different chapters. What are you going to work on?
So the idea is to sort of start from basics, like real basics, and go through... Writing, using Swift Dialogue just as a basic, and throw stuff up on the screen, and then using it to throw stuff up on the screen and ask the user the input, and then throwing stuff up on the screen and updating that stuff live as you've got something running in the background that's doing something else and managing multiple windows and all that sort of fun stuff. So from, real basic to the real sort of dark stuff.
Should be fun. It's really exciting to have a chance to see the different use cases, because everyone might have a different reason or different example of why they jumped into Swift Dialogue or why they might be thinking of it. I know in my case, I was finally staring at a script that was running for hours and just echoing statements in terminal, and I was staring at that. And I was like, hey, this Swift Dialogue could throw a dialogue up for me when things were happening. And that actually might be a little bit nicer. And so I quickly looked at the project and going, how does this work? And hacked a few things into my script so that at least it would display things every couple of hours, because it's a very, very long script that would check archives, like hundreds and millions of files. I'm looking forward to learning all about the different ways of using it and the more advanced usage Because mine's more very simple, but with a command file, but very simple. But I hear about all these people using it for setting up Macs and for first deployments. And I'm so excited to this project has morphed. Did you expect it was going to transform itself from when you started? What was your original use case?
Yeah, well, my original use case was literally I'm a Jamf person, so I was using Jamf helper a lot for just chucking up a window that said this thing is finished or you need to click this thing, go do it now. So those really kind of simple things. And I had some ideas for some extra things that I wanted to do with that, and it was a really good programming exercise to sort of tinker with Swift UI. So I've done a bit of Swift programming before, but I thought this Swift UI thing looks pretty cool. So, just sort of started building off that, and it was really supposed to be a really simple, you know, throw something up on the screen and maybe, you know, let people click a button or two. And after I got permission from work to open source it, push it out there and let people use it, you know, people started sort of saying, hey, can we do this as well? And can we add this in? And can we add that in? And whenever that sort of request made sense, you know, it successfully nerd sniped me into adding that kind of feature. And then it's kind of morphed into this replacement for, you know, things like DP Notify and things and onboarding, you know, workflows. And sort of that was really, you know, definitely not in my initial if I thought it was going to be like that, I probably wouldn't have started. I thought it would have been a massive undertaking to try and do all this sort of stuff. But I sort of found that just, you know, starting with like one thing and just, you just add one feature, you know, one feature a month, then that's 12 features every year. So it sort of adds up.
So looking at your showcase page, where you showcase a lot of the projects that are using Swift Dialog, are there any favorites that stand out in there or unique use cases that you wouldn't have thought about?
I kind of really like, so Dan Snelson's Setup Your Mac is kind of a really great litmus test because it touches almost everything, right? So it's got a little bit of every feature that's in there is in there. So whenever I'm doing builds, I kind of throw that at it. So if it breaks, then something is broken. But other than that, the some sort of really sort of the Chrome Q's erase install, now they've started to use it. That's really cool. I use the integration with Installamator in my environment. So just to pop up a little, this thing is happening, progress thing. So but everything there is really great. So the SysOc at Second Sun Consulting, he's made Baseline and Renew, and some really good things. And the other one I found the other day was there's on Microsoft's site, they've got one up for Intune on their GitHub, so that was a bit weird.
Intune? Intune, like a Swift Dialog script?
Yeah, deploying and onboarding splash screen with Swift Dialog Intune.
Whoa.
So Microsoft's GitHub shell Intune examples.
That's crazy.
Well, I don't think the script I wrote will ever hit any best of use cases, but it certainly made my life easier. And that's why we write scripts, right? To solve problems that we have.
Oh, don't worry about it. I've got plenty of scripts that I'm not putting on the showcase. These are the good ones.
Yeah. Yeah, my GitHub is an example of some scripts that are slightly sanitized and slightly okay, but I'm not showing you what I'm working on.
We write them until they do what they're supposed to do, and that's it.
Yeah, it's kind of
not built for human consumption.
The GitHub as a museum, not as a working production repo. Look at these beautiful scripts. Yeah. Awesome. Well, I can't wait for you to be at Mac DevOps. You're going to be making a big trip out to Vancouver.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. Looking forward to it. It's my first time to Canada.
Oh, my goodness.
And it'll be my, because I'm coming up via Japan, so it'll be my first time to Japan as well.
Oh,
Wow.
So that should be fun. Not much of a stop on the way over, but on the way back, I get an overnight, so do some stuff. So,
well, you're going to enjoy Canada. Canada is beautiful. I mean, Vancouver.
I've heard good things. Heard good things.
Not quite as deadly as Australia, you know, but it.
Oh, everyone says it's deadly, but it's fine.
Yeah, we have mountains and ocean, yeah, a nice city to walk around and beautiful parks.
Nice. Yeah, I was looking for probably the last thing I booked was actually where to actually stay in Vancouver. So it's a little bit on the pricey side in the city. And then I found a place over it's north, just over the. Got to catch a boat, I think, to get to.
Oh yeah, you're gonna be taking the sea bus, right? Sea bus.
Take a sea bus. Yeah,
we have the sea bus to North Van. It's just right across the water from Waterfront Station and right next to the conference. You're going to be traveling in style
nice.
To the conference. The sea bus is one of the most amazing parts of our transit system. While not officially part of the transit system, we also have the Aquabus, which is really cool to get to Granville Island. You'll have to get the Aquabus in and then do all the boat transports. Yes, Vancouver. Yeah,
that's the fun part. Actually, I find that whenever I go to a new place, I actually do prefer to just do a little bit esoteric with my travel plans. It's not so much, I don't know where I am, I'll just stay at the closest venue and walk 5 minutes to get there. And so taking sea buses and
Apple
buses, and that sounds fantastic. It's confusing, and when I was in San Francisco and I was taking the BART everywhere, that was very confusing.
Yeah, the noisy BART, not the the cool BART. I found, every transit system is different, and the BART I found was, you had to put the exact change in for your exact stop, and I was like, what are they thinking? What is going on? This is crazy. Like,
I thought it was great that they named a travel system after me, so.
Wow. That's an honor. Cool. yeah, definitely when we decided to make this conference here in Vancouver, we thought, well, even if the conference sucks, we'll be in a beautiful city. And that was our working motto. So people come for the city and stay for the conference. So yes, we have an amazing hallway track and some good talks too. So can't wait to welcome a lot of new people, some new people coming this year. So always exciting to meet new people and introduce them to Vancouver and our great fun conference, 10 years now. I am excited. Can you tell, JD?
It's palpable. It's very palpable.
Sign you're doing something right if you've been running it for that long.
Yeah.
or he's just that stubborn that he won't give up.
Definitely stubborn.
We'll make it work 1 year.
Make it work 1 year. One of these years has got to be good. But I don't know. I was inspired by all the people working on cool projects, kind of like your Swift Dialogue and people working on Monkey and people working on, you know, open source. And I just thought I really wanted to go to a conference where we talked more about all the cool projects that people are working on and how to help people get into those projects. And and so I'm excited to hear about your Swift Dialogue project specifically so I can learn more how to use it better. But also I want to hear about how it is at the conference when you talk about, hopefully you get to talk about the meta, you know, sort of talk about how is it running a project where people are asking you for features and how is it running an open source project and how has it changed your life or made it better, worse, same, exciting, you know, all those things.
Gave the workshop to run at XWorld, and I also gave a talk, which is also just sort of a generic open sourcey kind of talk. Sort of targeted as a, you know, so you're thinking about open sourcing or targeting at people who think they might have something they want to release or something like that. Yeah, all those topics sort of came up. It was the, you know, how do you get started with that kind of stuff? How do you manage it? How do you deal with support? And that's some really good questions sort of come out of that, which I might sort of feed back into my video version of that talk, that discussion. But there's a lot of people out there who sort of, you know, not struggle to think about it, but it was like, Well, how do you sort of get into this kind of thing, and what's, you know, what are the upsides, downsides, all that sort of stuff? It's a really interesting discussion.
Greg's coming, and he's going to also talk about, you know, open source and Monkey and everything, and try to encourage people to jump in and join in. And it's been over 10 years of us being fans of Monkey, and you know, it's a generational problem. What am I trying to say? It's a, like, how do we keep people, you know, interested in working and participating in our community-based projects? And it's you know, it's a small role of conferences to help people meet each other and help people learn new skills. And I'm hoping that we can play a small part in getting people skilled up and just introduced to other people and interested in believing that they can participate. And that's, I think, is the message all these years I've been trying to tell people, is that they have solved problems and they can participate and they can help and they can jump in. And yeah, the world is waiting for you.
Yeah. Well, Monkey was the first project that I contributed to, or the first sort of Mac admin adjacent project. And that can be, I'm just trying to think what my first few changes were. They're barely only like a few lines. It was like, you know, I want to add this in, or I want to add that in. And you know, you navigate that. And if you can't help with that, you can, there's always documentation. I get plenty of people complaining some documentation's out of date. That's easy to fix up, of course. But then people have gone and said, hey, I'll fix this up in your doco. Pull that in, and that always helps as well. So there's all sorts of ways that people can sort of dive in. It doesn't have to be code necessarily. So
it's awesome.
I think a lot of people are afraid that they're going to be like that XKCD comic, that they have that one project that's thanklessly maintained that everything else is built upon.
You're the one holding up the world,
right? I mean, I would hope to have a project that dependent, but also, like, I don't think I'm ever going to do that.
Well, you know, now that Microsoft's representing Swift Dialog, or pushing
it, now's your chance to sell out part. Cash in.
Well, I'm open to all offers, so we'll put it that way.
Speaking of coding,
I have to ask work, because it's under their copyright at the moment. So.
Oh,
no.
It's MIT, so we can just fork it and whatever we like with it.
How has been the whole Swift UI adventure? Do you regret it? Do you have your regrets?
No, actually, it's been a really great language to sort of dive into. It's, if anything, I sort of probably dove in overthinking the problem, you know, that I wanted to solve. And so some of my earlier, you know, choices when writing things have maybe been thinking, it's like, okay, well, this is like the next language. It's got to be, you know, more this or more that or whatever the case might be. And really, it's kind of, as far as getting started, if you're sort of thinking about coding or anything like that, it's a really great language to sort of get started with. The main thing that is, you know, getting your head around how the UI is constructed and trusting that the layout is going to work the way that you want it to work. I sort of come from like the old sort of interface builder, you know, sort of world where you sort of drag and drop your buttons and put them where you want to put them. And you know, there might be some options there to have them sort of stick to one side or the other or whatever. But yeah, SwiftUI, it's like coding UI in CSS, in a sense, if you sort of think about it that way. But once you sort of understand how the layout's working, it's actually, once it clicks, it's actually really good. It's really good. And so, you know, the whole sort of version one code base of Swift Dialog was very much voyage of discovery. And then version two was a proper rewritten so much underneath the hood that this deserves a new version bump, just a it's like a major version bump, not just a dot one or whatever. So and that was based around all the stuff that I'd learned prior. So, you know, you sort of, you try something out, you see how it works, you make mistakes, you learn from that, and then you build on that. And that's pretty much how I've built it, you know, up to where it is at the moment. So, and of course, I'm still learning. There's still all the code in there. I need to, you know, redo a little bit better. And yeah, it's all worth it. It's all worth it. 100 days of Swift. I think there's 100 days of Swift UI course free somewhere.
And now you have Adoring Fans.
I've got to look that up. Oh, Adoring Fans, people that use the thing and want it to keep working.
Yeah.
I hope the idea is that it's just going to be one of these projects that just I'll just touch and update every so often. Yeah, I'll come up with a new idea, add a new thing. Every time I think I'm done with it, to be honest, about a month after, I sort of think, all right, that's it. It's got all the features it needs to have. And then I'll think of something new.
You're always so eager to add things. I always remember when I first started touching it, Swift Dialog, I was like, how does this work? What do you do? How do you do this? And then I was like, does it work like this? And then you're like, put out a new version of Swift Dialog, and you're like, and I've added this feature. Maddox wanted this. I'm like, I was just trying to figure out how it worked at all, but thanks for making it work the way I thought I wanted it to work. But I was just like, how do you hold this? Like,
that actually informed a really big part of the how I worked on it. So getting back to the general sort of open source-y kind of question, I mean, part of putting it out there was to get that kind of get those kind of responses where you sort of you put your thing out and someone goes, I got this, I thought it should be able to do this, or it's doing this but it's not doing it the way I thought it might work, or something like that. And even those comments, if they're not coming through as like actual feature requests or anything like that, just hearing people's comments just informs you to sort of think, hey, there's no reason why I can't do that, and just throw that in there and then say, there you go, hopefully that answers your question or whatever. So a lot of the initial building was based around that type of feedback, which was really
I mean, honestly, it's exciting just to be mentioned in the release notes saying I got this cool idea from Matt X. I'm like, what?
Oh, that's how you get notoriety. I don't know. It's, I mean, I'm not in it for the loves, so I'm in it for the I am. It's my Dialog is my love letter to the community, because I've used so many other community tools like, Monkey and AutoPackage and all those other great things that sort of got me to, keep my job where I am and make me look competent. So I thought if I could have a little touch and if I can get two or three people using something that I made, that'd make me happy. So I think I've achieved that.
So in 3+ years of playing with Swift Dialog, how much has that changed? Has it become easier?
Definitely, yeah. The first versions of Swift UI that came out, it came out with macOS 10.15, and I think that version was that version and the version with macOS 11. macOS 11 is probably it was the first version that was really usable as a Mac developing platform. Still had a few missing bits and pieces, and so there's a lot of code in there that tries to work around limitations that weren't available. But in later versions of Swift UI, as Apple's released new versions of the OS, they started adding those things in as native features. So one of the things I have to pull in at the moment is a Markdown renderer that wasn't available in macOS 11 version of Swift UI, but later versions of Swift UI can do some really nice Markdown rendering natively. So one of my to-dos is to try to reduce reliance on external packages and try to do stuff natively. So there's a lot of great new features in there now. I think it's quite capable.
It's been a journey of discovery for you, following along with Swift and Swift UI, and boldly building tools based on those Apple projects.
Yeah, well, it's been good. And then, you know, being able to feed that into other projects, you know, what I learned there, being able to help out where I can. So, you know, learning from there and you know, fitting what I know into helping out, say, like the Nudge project. And I haven't committed to that for a little while, but the stuff I learned with UI layout and all that sort of stuff really helped with that.
Nice. Well, we really appreciate you coming out to Vancouver, making the big trip out and giving a talk and workshop at Mac DevOps. So if you're thinking of coming to Vancouver, come say hi to Bart, jump in the workshop and get some good discussions going in our hallway track.
Hallway track is where it's at.
Yeah. The talks are just a shadow enterprise.
It's to inspire things to talk about in the hallway track.
Truth, facts. What do the kids say these days? Oh dear.
No.
The kids aren't.
No, they're having. Just at X World, it was like that. I think the hallway track was really probably the good sort of capstone to the talks and the workshops, yeah, being able to give direct feedback, people come up and say thanks and all that sort of stuff. It was really great.
Well, we'll just have to cut all the talks down to about 5 minutes and then we'll just have 15 minutes of thanks.
15 minutes of hallway.
Just a hallway. We're just one long hallway. We've changed venue.
That's what you booked. You've just booked the hallway. Everyone's in the hotel. Just come out to the hallway and just chat.
We've joked early on that it was just going to be a conference with a keynote and then a hallway track and that's it.
Oh man, I should have done that. yeah, the first conference was just one day because I was like, how can we mess up one day? And then we decided to do 2 days. We can mess up 2 days. Now we've got 3 days. So join us for Mac DevOps 2024, the 10th year annual Awesome Sauce Hallway Track collective community open source fun time post WWDC chat box. Yeah, join us in Vancouver, Canada, a beautiful country of full of reasonably educated people, sort of, kind of. And we love you.
June 19th through the 21st, right, Matt?
Yeah, June 19th is our workshop day and our speaking talks are 20th and the 21st. But yeah, we have some socials and lots of fun events to let people chat and hang out. Yeah, join us June 19th for the pre-conference social and June 20th, after the first day, we got a big social as well. So everything's in one spot. You don't have to look hard to find us. Just listen to the lively hallway track. Thanks, Bart. Where can we find you in socials or online? Or where are you at?
Where am I at? I am at Bart Reardon on the Mac Admin Slack. And I am at written at aus.social on Mastodon. And I have a Blue Sky account, but I don't really get on there, but I put there as well. So
and your GitHub project is github.com/SwiftDialogue.
GitHub.com/SwiftDialogue. You can also go to SwiftDialogue.app.
Nice
little landing page. So
nice.
Paid for by the gracious contributions that some people have made to the project. So what's an app without a home? What's an app without a website? I'm falling into that. Do you do the website before the app, or you come up with an idea, make the website? No. So yeah, SwiftDialogue.app. Get out there. Otherwise, GitHub/SwiftDialogue or GitHub/Reardon.
Wow.
See my other stuff, including my dodgy scripts that probably need work.
Well, thanks again, Bart. Watch out for those dodgy scripts, and we'll see you soon in Vancouver, Canada at Mac DevOps.
See you there. I'm really looking forward to it.
Thank you, JD.
Thank you, Matt.
Thank you, bots.
Thank you for joining us today for the Mac DevOps podcast. Thank you to our guests, and thank you to our co-hosts, Today's episode was edited by JD Strong. Please like and share this podcast on your favorite podcast service. All right, day four of the conference is a coffee workshop.
Coffee workshop.
Okay. Mac Coffee Ops.
Mac Coffee Ops.
Yeah.
There we go.
We need a new name for the conference. The Mac DevOps just scares everybody.